The single most important thing that humanity needs to know, the world needs to know, society needs to know, is what trauma is, how it affects us, why emotional neglect has the effects that it does, and just how unconscious we all are as a species to the effects of it, and how normalized the outcomes of going through trauma is in today's society. Trauma affects every single aspect of one's life. There is no one that is exempt from this. We live in a time where we don't understand this as emotional beings. It affects us in most of the ways that we're not actually even aware of and we can't even recognize. And we normalize it, and it's so ingrained in so many different aspects of societal, social interactions. What a lot of people would see as normal is just the outcome of trauma, the outcome of our pain, of our suffering. Trauma is the biggest part of humanity. It's the steering wheel of which way society goes toward. It truly is, and most of society are completely unconscious of this steering wheel. It's the root of addiction, it's the root of depression, it's the root of all of the unconscious behaviors one would have towards disconnection, aggression, war. It's the reason why people want to be on their own, even though we're social creatures, we're relationally dependent species, and we're herd creatures. It's why people are so hyper independent, which makes no sense based on how we actually work as human beings. It's the reason we have illnesses in the body. This is all from unresolved trauma. So it really, really makes sense to understand what trauma is. And that's why I've decided to create this episode of the podcast so I can go deeper into what trauma is, what's happening in the moments of trauma, why we have certain behaviors, what the outcome of it is, and how we can actually heal the trauma that we're struggling with. Trauma actually changes the way that we see the world individually. I will see the world completely different to the way that you will see the world, and your siblings will see the world completely different as well, and so will your friends. But trauma has a huge role in the way that we see the world. Trauma is the reason why we change our behaviors, why any of one's behaviors will change in any way at all. And trauma is the reason why we see ourselves the way we do. Trauma is the reason why we have low self-esteem. Trauma is the reason why we have unconscious core beliefs about ourselves. And this is all from the experiences we've had in our lives. We're not conscious of what's going on, not because we're incapable, not because we're not good enough. It's because that's how we work. That's how we keep ourselves safe. That's how we protect ourselves. That's what a conscious being is like. A conscious being, I want you to think about it like this. Everything in this reality is consciousness. It's energy. It's consciousness. You are the dream of the universe. So whenever you have a dream, you might have different people in that dream. It might be your siblings, it might be your parents, it might be your friends, it might be your co-workers. All of that is happening in your mind. So the version of other people in your mind is actually you. It's not them, it's you. It's just you're seeing a version of them. That's what you are to the universe. The universe is expanding, and you are the character in the universe's dream. So, just like everyone else is you in your dream, everyone is the universe in the universe's dream, which means that everything in the universe is the universe, and the universe is conscious because you are part of the universe, which is you are the, but you are the conscious part of the universe. You are a fragment of the consciousness of the universe. Now, everything is conscious, but you are the part of the consciousness that is aware, that has the ability to be aware. And with that comes the conscious and the unconscious. So things like animals, lions, tigers, elephants, they're not as conscious as humans in terms of humans have the ability to question, what am I? And through that exploration of what I am, I raise my awareness. I'm becoming more self-aware. But just like everything else, like all the other animals, I have the ability, or we have the ability, to be unconscious as well. And that's when most people and beings that are unconscious are living in reactivity. I'm reacting to the environment, and the environment, I'm trying to survive in that environment. So the unconscious is kind of like living in survival. This is why animals like lion is mostly living in unconscious, tigers, anything. They're living in the unconscious, and humans are the part of the universe, or one of many parts of the universe, that has the ability to live consciously. And that requires the individual conscious awareness of the universe. So the conscious driver that you are, the awareness that is listening to this right now, that requires you to explore and go deeper and raise your awareness of what you are, so you can become more conscious. We live in a time where we have been brought up in a society that is still living in the emotional dark ages. We are emotional beings that think. We are not thinking beings that feel emotions. And because of that, we have gone through many experiences where it has been extremely emotionally unsafe for us because of the emotional neglect that we've experienced. We've not had what we have needed in many, many moments of our lives. We are creatures of needs. Our needs were not met in so many experiences. Our emotional needs were completely forgotten about, not because the people that were looking after us or the society are bad people. It's just we live in that time. So what that does is it takes us more towards living in survival reactive mode, which means that we are more unconscious. And by being unconscious, I'm just reacting. Trauma, which is experiencing emotional distress without resolution for that distress, is what keeps us more and more living in survival, living unconsciously. And because we live in a time where, if not all the people in your life did not know, does not know anything about this, or what to do in the moments where we would experience emotional trauma, or just how frequent and how often emotional trauma actually happens, all of the experiences that we've had has gone unresolved. And when you have so many unresolved experiences, and I'm talking thousands of experiences that are extremely unresolved, at some point, more often than not, our adulthood, we get to a place where we are really, really struggling at this stage. So it's mainly like, this is what depression is. This is why everyone's really, really struggling. Yes, there are things in the world that are happening that are also playing a role in it, but our ability to be able to handle it, or our ability to be in the survival state that we are, all stem from the unresolved emotional trauma that we have been through. This doesn't mean that everything in the world that's happening is a-okay and no problem. Everything in the world that's happening that's terrible, whether it's wars or fighting, or one person trying to create something from themselves to the detriment of another person, is actually due to the disconnect that we all unconsciously feel because of the trauma that we've all been through. And it changes the way that we see reality, we see the world. If I've been through many experiences where I've only had people against me, where I've only had things go against me, I believe that I am on my own and I can only be there for myself. I'm in a shark tank and I'm on my own, so I need to survive. So yes, I will learn through seeing how everyone else is reacting and acting, which is everyone else does things only for themselves to the detriment of others. And I learn that this is how I need to survive. This is all because we've been living extremely unconsciously because of the trauma that we've experienced, because of the emotional neglect. Now, trauma itself happens so much more than you would actually think. And if you're on your healing journey whilst you're listening to this, or if you're starting your healing journey, I promise you right now when I say this, you still can't see how much of an effect it has had on you, because the more you do, the more you will truly, truly understand. You can understand it logically, but you still won't be able to understand it in your body, understand it in your heart, until you're doing more and more. And the more you do, the more you're going to realize, oh my God, it has had the biggest effect on my entire being, on my entire reality. Trauma is experiencing distress, emotional distress, without the resolution for that distress. What happens in that moment is a part of me will fragment in my consciousness. So all of the parts of you that you are, and humans are multiple parts, we're multiple personalities. Multiple personality disorder is only assigned to someone really that is like kind of really out of control with the whole multiple personality aspect of the being. But we all have parts, and we change into parts all day throughout the day based on the experiences we're having and what's actually going on. A lot of these parts were created through the fragmentation of our consciousness because of the experiences we've had in the past that were too emotionally distressful for us without resolution. So as a way of keeping ourselves safe, we fragment our consciousness, which is a part of ourselves, and that part has a certain behavior that keeps us safe. So for example, let's say, and trauma doesn't necessarily need to be something big that happens like a car crash or sexual abuse or someone in your family passing or anything like that. Trauma happens so much more than you would actually believe, because listen to what the definition of it is, which is emotional distress without resolution. So when you are distressed emotionally without that distress being resolved, that then falls into emotional trauma, which plays a role in the changes that you're experiencing in your life. So let's use the example of leaving a cup on the side. I've used this example a few times. As a child, you leave the cup on the table, but your parents, let's say your mother, has gone through her experiences and she's been in a household where that's never been okay. So that triggers something in her, and she shouts every time you leave an empty cup on the side after you drink it. She's like, go put that in the kitchen. I've told you to put that in the kitchen many times. And just like a normal human, you'll forget. You'll, you know, make a mistake, and that's completely okay. So it happens again and you get scolded for it. I told you to put that empty cup in the kitchen. And that'll happen a few times. And then through those experiences, what's actually happening is in those moments when I am being told this in the way of anger, frustration, disappointment, I'm being scolded for putting this cup here, that is emotionally distressful for me, especially towards the caregiver, which is my everything. It's without our caregivers, we wouldn't survive. We would be dead. An infant on their own would die 100% of the time. We are a joke when it comes to being able to survive as a species when we're born. We 100% rely on our caregivers. So in a way, that makes them the god of our reality. Like, we wouldn't survive without them. And everything that they say, we're learning about reality, we're learning what's safe, what's not, from them. They're actually feeding us, they're keeping us safe to a degree in terms of physically, they're housing us. So for us as new humans in this reality, and the more we're becoming aware, these people to us are just everything. it's all my entire safety relies on these people. And if that person that I'm completely relying on for my everything starts scolding me, that's so scary because it makes me be on my own again. It makes me just be alone. I'm like kind of fending for myself. If the person that has been my everything is now scolding me and I've lost that connection to that person, which is the most important thing for an emotional being, is that connection. Now, if I'm losing that connection, that's so scary for me. So it's emotionally distressful because of that. And what happens is I will adopt a specific behavior in order to make sure that I don't lose that connection again. And the person that is my everything doesn't become this person that pushes me away, that I'm disconnected from. So what happens is I will experience a split in my consciousness. And again, remember, that is the parts of ourselves. So a part of myself goes, right, okay, I'm going to keep you safe by, or keep us safe by making sure that we never leave the cup on the side again, because every time we do, it's extremely unsafe. Every time we do, we keep getting scolded, we keep getting told off, and that's never, ever good for us. So that's not even an option anymore. So what would happen in that moment is this part of me that I know keeps me safe is the part of me that I adopt. It keeps me safe by having the behavior of making sure I never leave the cup on the side again. So the next time I'll drink the cup and it's empty, I put it on the side and I feel the triggered fear come up, which then activates this part of me that goes, oh, no, I have to keep you safe. I'm going to force you to grab that cup and put it in the kitchen. That is how I'm learning to stay safe. And in that moment, I'm also giving meanings. So when I've been scolded for leaving the cup on the side, I give meaning to that experience. Reality and everything in my reality is meaningless. Inherently, it has no meaning. And that's the beauty of life, because it allows me to give meaning to everything in my reality. It allows you to give meaning to everything in your reality as well. So what that does essentially is it gets me to a place of figuring out how to keep myself safe through forcing myself not to leave the cup on the side. Now, if I was to be in a room and someone was to leave the cup on the side, and it wasn't even my cup, what would happen is I would feel the same trigger again, that same unsafety. So maybe a sibling of mine would leave the cup on the side, and I know that, oh my God, mom's going to come down and be so angry with me because this cup is on the side. I start being triggered again, and this part of me that has the behavior of making sure the cup is not on the side will play in. And that might look something like I yell at my brother or yell at my sister to go and put the cup on in the kitchen. Don't leave it on the side. But they don't really want to. And now it starts getting heated because I am purely living through survival instincts. Because I understand that whenever the cup is on the side, it has been unsafe for me. This is me being unconscious. I'm unconsciously reacting to the environment. The environment is that there's an empty cup on the side. I have unconsciously already been triggered because the part of myself that I'm unconscious of already feels extremely unsafe. And the part of myself that has learned how to keep me safe is now kicking in and trying to do that the best way possible. So I might start getting a little bit aggressive towards my sibling. Go put the cup in the kitchen. And my sibling's like, no, I'm not going to. So then that will maybe even lead to a huge argument or possibly even physical aggression between myself and my sibling. Or I might actually go do it myself. By controlling the situation, I get up, grab the cup and go put it in the kitchen. So I'm learning that by controlling this, that's how I feel safe. Because once I move the cup from the table that is empty to the kitchen, then it is no longer unsafe for me. So my controlling behavior of controlling the situation by grabbing the cup and taking it to the kitchen keeps me safe. Now I'm learning that if I control situations, that will keep me safe as well. This is all behavior to me that is extremely unconscious. I don't understand the root of why I'm doing what I'm doing. I have learned that I have been told that the empty cup must be in the kitchen. So at the surface level, the part of me and the thoughts that I have is this is the right thing to do. This is the rules of the house. So I must abide by the rules of the house, which is fair enough. Yeah, that's not bad. But the reason why I would be feeling the way that I am and it would give me the sensations of anxiety is because of the experiences that I've had that I'm completely unconscious of. Now, that's just one example. You've been through thousands of these experiences. And in those experiences, we give meanings. So the meaning of I must control the situation in order to feel safe. The meaning of, well, if I'm getting scolded for making mistakes and leaving it out again, or I'm getting scolded and the way that I'm being spoken to in this very disrespectful manner to do something to make my mother feel better, then that must mean I'm not that good. I'm not really good enough. And in the moments where I'm being scolded, I'm pushed away emotionally, I disconnected from that connection that I rely on, which means I'm alone as well. All of those experiences lead to me giving meaning. That meaning is a thought. A thought that's thought over and over again is a belief. So the thousands of experiences I've had, I've given very similar, if not the same meanings, that this is happening because I'm not good enough. This is happening, which means now I'm alone. All of those are thoughts. And because I've had so many experiences where I give the same meanings, now these are my unconscious core beliefs that are carried through by the fragmented parts of myself that I am completely unconscious of. And now I am constantly in the behaviors of the parts of myself that have learned how to keep me safe. And some of these parts keep me safe by being extremely independent because I can't rely on anyone. Some of these parts keep me safe by being extremely controlling because unpredictability of an circumstance or an experience or an environment is extremely chaotic, and that is extremely unsafe to me. So by being able to control the situation, there is no chaos. And without chaos, that means I'm safe. And then someone might look at that and go, oh, you're so controlling. And it will be seen as such a negative way. And that person will again be rejected for adopting behaviors that has kept them safe. So not only are they rejected in other ways, now they are rejected in this way as well. So that backs up the meaning that I am alone, I am rejected even more. But in terms of having experiences like that, you know, if let's say another example is I learned that everyone in my life has always been against me, because they have. This happens a lot because we're not there as a society to be able to understand each other. So when one would express their pain, more often than not, in an attempt to help that person, they're told that everything is going to be okay. And they're told that, oh, you just need to do this. You're always told how to fix it instead of your pain being there. You're always, even if it's like you go through a breakup, and it's like, right, okay, you're sad and we need to cheer you up. So we're going to go out. This whole concept of because you're sad and we need to cheer you up is extremely unhealthy, because that invalidates the part of me that are sad. So if I go through a breakup, my friends might take me out to the bar and then try to cheer me up, which means that the sad parts of me are not allowed to express themselves. And I might be at the bar going, you know what? I just don't feel like it. I don't feel good. I don't feel happy. I just want to go home. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's completely fine. Look at that girl at the bar there. She's cute. Why don't you speak to her? So again, it's just backing up and invalidating the parts of myself that are feeling the way that they are. My pain is being invalidated through everyone's attempt to try and help. And this is what I mean by we live in the emotional dark ages. If we lived in a time where collectively in society we understood this, we wouldn't go towards trying to change how someone feels. We'd go towards validating how someone feels, which is actually the healthy path. Now, that doesn't mean that that person's going to remain in that feeling. That's not how it works. And actually, it's the exact opposite. By validating and going towards it, you go through it and you release it. It's actually the path to go towards. But let's say you experience that, which we all have in so many ways. So you reach out left, right, up, down, you look around everywhere and everyone's invalidating your pain due to just them trying to help because they don't understand. So then you get to a stage where you're like, okay, I can't share my pain with anyone. I'm just going to keep it all in, because every time I do, I try, I get rejected, I get pushed back. That is very, very scary for us to kind of be in a world where I cannot share my pain. I have to just keep that in. And that is what leads to, again, disease. That's where it leads to a manifestation of trapped energy in the body somehow. And we were never taught any of this stuff. We were never taught how to go towards our pain. We're never taught what trauma even is, how often it happens, how to integrate these parts of ourselves. The experiences that I've had, those parts of me are frozen in time. So as an adult, I still have the child version of me that was scolded by my mom to take the cup from the table to the kitchen as the child version of me within my being. That part of me has frozen in time as that age. And as an adult, what I need to do is I need to go towards this part to integrate this part. There are so many behaviors that we have in society that are extremely unhealthy, but society see as healthy, see as the way to go. This is how we need to, this is like really, really good. It's a praise as well. For someone, one of the main coping mechanisms we have to our suffering and pain due to, which is what was caused through the experiences we've had and experiencing trauma, is distraction. And that distraction can come in many different ways. One of the two main ways that it does come in is like exercise or the gym or work. If I'm working too much, there's a huge distraction to the suffering that I am in, the unconscious pain that I am in, that I don't even actually know. And the same if someone's going to the gym, overly going to the gym or exercising, that is again another distraction. Now, that doesn't mean that exercising and going to the gym shouldn't be part of your self-development journey, absolutely. But by recognizing, okay, am I distracting myself from my pain? That's going to be the goal. Now, when you speak to someone and they'll be like going, you know, working all hours, doing so much, that's praised by people. Oh, you're so dedicated. You're so dedicated to your job. You're so dedicated to your gym. You have so much discipline. That's really nice. That is again, societal's belief of detrimental behaviors that we have, which is destroying our internal world in so many different ways, that is being praised. Society do not understand. We are not at a time of understanding how we work as emotional beings and the effects of trauma. And unfortunately, we go down a path of praising trauma responses, coping mechanisms, even if it's going towards the world of mainly like mainstream therapy. Everything is, all right, well, we'll just medicate you. Here's how you cope with it. And coping is not the answer. It is not the answer. Coping is managing stress. It's adapting to the stress, but that means that the stress is there. What we need to do is resolve. We need to go towards resolution. And yes, it requires you to learn how to do it. It requires you to understand yourself, to understand how you work internally, to understand how to raise your awareness about yourself, because you are the conscious self. This is why living unconsciously is living in survival, just constantly reacting to the environment that we're in. And when you're just constantly reacting to the environment that you're in, you're actually easily controllable. This is why mainstream media is the way that it is, because everyone's just reacting. The way you get out of it is by raising your awareness, to question yourself, to understand yourself internally, to understand the experiences that you've had, to understand the unmet needs that you've still holding on to, or better yet, trying to meet in an unhealthy way, not in a wrong way, in an unhealthy way. If as a child I've gone through the experience of the cut being on the side, I have a need of safety in that moment. I have a need of love. I want to be loved. I don't want to be scolded. I want to be safe. I need it to be okay for me to make a mistake and fail and forget that I've put the empty cup there again. And you can go to the part of you that's frozen in time from that experience to then meet those unmet needs in a state of imagination. That's what reintegration is. Right now, you are unconsciously invalidating so many parts of yourself because of the experiences you've had. So in that example, I would be invalidating the part of myself that needs love, that needs safety, that needs to for it to be okay that he failed, that needs love in terms of, I accept you for failing. That's completely okay. But what I'm doing is, there's another part of me that has learned how to keep this part, how to keep all of us safe. And I'm saying all of us as in all of my parts. So the way that this part does that is through controlling the situation, making sure that the cup's not there. So a part of me will be triggered to feel the unsafety of it. And the invalidation is, I'm plowing, bulldozing that emotion by controlling the situation and just going towards, all right, this is what keeps me safe. That's an invalidation of my pain, myself. The goal is to learn how to validate yourself. When you're able to connect to these parts of yourself through using your triggers as like kind of like the fishing hook, you get to a place of being able to communicate with this part. And through that communication, you can validate and then you can meet the unmet needs. And because the whole way that you communicate to your internal world is through your imagination. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I can't imagine. Like you, it's impossible. Like you wouldn't be in reality if you couldn't imagine. imagination doesn't mean you have to visually see it. But you do everything in your internal world through imagination. And your imagination is what we use in order to meet any unmet need. And because it's the imagination, that need can be absolutely anything and it can be met. So there are so many parts of myself and parts of my clients that sometimes they're like, I want an ice cream. It's like, all right. So you imagine having an ice cream. But this is all at the step of meeting the needs. For you to get to a place of integrating these parts of yourself, once you integrate a part of yourself that's stuck in time, you then won't have the same behaviors that you have had to adopt in order to keep yourself safe. And those are the unconscious behaviors. So for someone who would be controlling, to control the situation by healing, which is the integration of these parts of yourself, you won't have the need to control the situation in order to feel safe, because you are meeting that need in a healthier way. The more you do that, the less and less you will need to control any situation. So yes, someone that is extremely controlling can work to get to a place where they're not controlling at all through integration of these parts of themselves, through emotionally healing these parts of yourself. Now, the biggest and most question that I get is, well, how do you do that? How do you heal these parts of yourself? And that's not a one sentence answer. It requires you to learn your internal world. It requires you to understand your human being, understand yourself, what a thought is, what a belief is, how they're formed, what a trigger is, what your feelings and emotions are. The fact that you are the observer and multiple parts. You need to practice being the observer. You need to practice observing your thoughts. You need to start journaling, start getting your thoughts out of your head. You need to understand why you're even doing that, how to change your belief, how to properly use affirmations, not the way that mainstream spiritual and self-help kind of mainstream communities are saying. If you look in the mirror and you say, I love myself and it doesn't feel right, don't do it. Literally, don't do it. It's not real. This whole concept that, no, just go look at yourself and just say these things that you don't believe, you're gaslighting yourself. Say something that you do believe. And that might be, I like myself. And oh, I don't believe that. Okay. I'm good at cooking. Huh, I believe that. I'm going to start there. And eventually, the more you do the integration work, the more you're in healing yourself, everything's going to change. Your behavior is going to change. How you view the world, how you view yourself is going to change, because you're undoing the emotional distress, which has been frozen in time. And eventually you will be able to get to a place of looking in the mirror and saying to yourself that you love yourself and it will feel right. This whole concept that you just need to keep doing it until it feels right is wrong. You're gaslighting yourself. You're lying to yourself. Why would these parts of you trust you if you're just trying to convince them of something? It's not how we work. We're never, healing is not trying to convince. You don't change a belief by trying to convince parts of yourself to believe something else. You have to show yourself this. Show yourself that you are good enough to be loved by learning how to love yourself, by learning how to accept these parts of yourself. Learning how you work is the most, you're the conscious driver in this vehicle. This vehicle that we call the human being, this emotional being. Your consciousness of what you are is the non-physical aspect of your being. And the physical aspect of your being is the emotional human being. So it makes sense to learn how to drive the human being. If you were driving a car, you would need to learn how to drive the car. You need to learn how to drive the human being. And the internal world is a huge, if not the biggest part of that. Because everything that you do in the internal world will reflect in the external world. So when you start to learn how to love yourself more, you will exercise more because you're going to have more respect for yourself. You're going to have more love for yourself. You will start eating better because you're loving yourself more. And you won't need to force these things. It's going to happen as an outcome. Now I'm going to say the same thing to you because I know the questions that you've got. How do you do all of this? I have online, the whole reason I create online courses is because so many people ask me this. I have the biggest course that I have that will teach you the most about this is my course called Beyond the Shadows. And you can find that on my website. Everyone who's taken it has had profound changes because this is how we work. This isn't a kind of a, oh, well, let's see if it works for you. It's like, no, this works for everyone because this is how we work. There are ways that we work, all of us, and there are ways that we differ slightly. For example, if we needed a heart transplant, everything would be the same. We would need to make sure the area is sterilized, our hearts have like certain valves that all work the same. But the difference is like blood type. And this is the same thing. Internally in our world, this is how we work. And you do have the ability to do this because you're a human being. You just need to learn how to do this. And the more you do it, the more you're going to raise your awareness. You're going to be more conscious. You're not going to live in the unconscious behaviors that we have lived in. None of the stuff that mainstream media and kind of society are doing are addressing the root of the pain. Going from one addiction to another, forcing yourself to just stop whatever you're addicted to is not necessarily taking you to the root of why that addiction is there.
Thank you so much for listening. I will talk more about this subject and how it stretches out into so many different ways. Just remember that you can take control of your own reality. You can make the changes that you need to make in order to get to where you want to get to. You do have the power. And the only reason that you believe that you don't is because of the experiences you've been through. If you want to learn more about this stuff, you can find loads of online help on my website, ariansamui.com. And you can also go down the rabbit hole of my YouTube channel as well. I'll see you next time. Have a great day. Bye.